The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 6th, 2010 in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Prakamalam Shri Gurur Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganaraganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So, we are gathered together here today on the most auspicious occasion of initiation ceremony. Initiation does not mean that the business is finished. When you initiate something, that means you begin it. So, initiation is the formal beginning of the pathway of bhakti. Then now, the disciple is making the commitment that I will faithfully carry out the orders of my spiritual master from now on for all of eternity. One may ask, why do you need someone to come between you and Krishna? There is no question of the spiritual master coming in between the disciple and Krishna, because the spiritual master is the bridge that connects you to Krishna. He does not separate you from Krishna, he connects you with Krishna. Because Krishna states in the Adi Purana to Arjuna, Yeme bhakta jana parata, neme bhakta shtete jana. That the one who is my devotee, O Arjuna, he is not my devotee. Yeme bhakta jana parata, neme bhakta shtete jana, ye bhakta nam te ye bhakta, ste me bhakta vata vata. But the one who is my devotee, the one who is the devotee of my devotee, the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my actual devotee. So, if you would like to connect with Krishna, if you would like to return to your original relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world, then you must have the ticket. You must have a ticket. It's like when you go to the airport, you don't have a ticket, but they let you on the airplane. No ticket, no flying in the airplane, isn't it? They want to see, where's your ticket? So if you want ticket on the airplane back to Godhead, they want to know who is your spiritual master. Your spiritual master is your ticket. So no guru, no seat on the airplane. If you have guru, then you have your reserve seat on the airplane back to Godhead. So, there's nothing more important if you want to go back to God than to become initiated disciple of the bona fide spiritual master. So, today, these two candidates, Mira and Pradeep, they're beginning their pathway, their formal beginning. They've already been practicing very nicely to prove their sincerity. But now, by their sincere dedication, they have proven that they are qualified to be initiated disciples. So we are accepting them on the recommendation of your temple president, Sriman Haridev Dasadhikari Prabhu. So, this most auspicious occasion, Prabhupada explained in one lecture he gave in Los Angeles on the occasion of initiation. This was delivered on the 5th of January, 1974, quote, "Deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adaurugarashrayam. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. And if you continue the advice and instruction of the spiritual master or the shastra, then you become deathless, no more death. So initiation means actually you're entering into the realm of deathlessness, immortality. In the very moment that the spiritual master hands you the beads in the initiation ceremony, your deathlessness has begun from that point. If you follow the regulated principles strictly, if you deviate, then you fall down from that exalted position. But if in the moment the Guru Maharaj hands you the beads, from that moment on, you chant, faithfully chant at least 16 rounds every day, you strictly follow the regulated principles, no illicit sex life, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, then from that very moment when you receive the beads, you live in immortality from that very moment. You don't have to wait to leave your body to attain immortality. From the very moment of diksha, you attain immortality, provided you remain under the instructions of your spiritual master. So, how do you become solidly situated then in the instructions of the spiritual master? The spiritual master is ordering you, along with chanting 16 rounds and following regulated principles, he is ordering you that you should cultivate Shudanam, the pure name. That means not only chanting 16 rounds, but chanting 16 rounds without offense. You must now cultivate. You've been chanting 16 rounds. You've proven your seriousness in that. Now you must seriously become pure in your chanting by being very careful to avoid the 10 namaparads. The first one is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. We were discussing this last night in our devotee relationship seminar. We'll be discussing it in part 2 of the devotee relationship seminar later today. How important it is to have proper loving relationships with Vaishnavas. Because unless we have the proper loving relationships with Vaishnavas, we will inevitably commit the first offense, which is to be offensive towards devotees. In other words, to avoid offenses, you have to have loving relationships. And by having loving relationships, you'll automatically avoid offenses. So not only do we have a relationship with our spiritual master, we also have a relationship with the devotees. And it's very important. Those devotees, those relationships should all be first class. First class relationships. With my husband, with my wife, with my kids, with my friends, with my temple authorities, with my GBC, everyone that I'm related with. I should have first class relationship. And I may not be perfect. That's all right. But one must strive for perfection. It's understood we are not perfect. That's why we're in this hospital. We're here to recover from our material disease. But one must make the endeavor to become perfect. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. What does that mean? Some people say, well, I know how I'll avoid that offense. I just won't take a guru. Then I won't be disobeying his orders. But wait a minute, Prabhupada is the siksha guru of all of us, and he says that guru is required. He's quoted that verse many times. Tad viganartam sa guru meva vigascha. If you want to become Krishna conscious, you have to have guru. So the only way to not disobey the orders of Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, is to accept the spiritual master and to be obedient to his instructions. And the fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination. In other words, we were describing this morning from Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada that one utterance of Krishna contains more nectar than can even be tasted by millions of ears and millions of mouths. So one might say, oh, I think this is just an exaggeration to convince me to chant my japa. No. It is not exaggeration. The fact is there's so much nectar in these two syllables, Krishna, that the universe cannot even hold all that nectar. One universe cannot contain the unlimited millions, billions, and trillions of gallons of nectar which is emanating from one pure utterance of Krishna. So there's no exaggeration. Seven, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Eight, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as spiritual activities. In other words, well, I want to get a new house, so we're going to have a kirtan for getting a new house. Or I want to get a new job, so we'll have a kirtan so I can get a new job. Don't take the name cheaply like that. You see, for some material gain. Simply strive for pure bhakti. Chant Hare Krishna to achieve pure devotional service. And whatever you need, material or spiritual, Krishna will give it to you automatically. You don't need to petition Krishna to give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires, to give my wife a new silk sari, to give my kids a Harvard education, to give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. We don't need to petition the Lord like that. Simply, we should beg Krishna for pure devotional service. That's why we chant Hare Krishna. And if you're doing that, if you're begging for pure devotional service, what will be the result? Ananyushchante yantamam ye jana paryapasate te shambhichibhyuktamam yogachemam mahamyam. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Prabhupada elaborated, he says, Krishna will personally deliver to your door whatever you need. He give you whatever you need. Simply make your only desire to please Krishna with your every thought, your every word, your every deed, in every time, in every place, and in every situation. And if you do so, Krishna will take care of all your needs. You don't have to bother him. How many of you growing up, like here's a small boy, do you ever ask your daddy, will you feed me today? Does he ever ask you, my dear daddy, will you feed me today? No. He doesn't have to ask. So why are we asking God, my dear God, please give me my daily bread, please give me my daily chapati? Why are we asking God like that? We don't trust Him? We think He doesn't love us? You see? So therefore, don't take Hare Krishna mantra for some material benefit. Krishna will take care of all our material needs. Simply chant to develop pure bhakti, that's all. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Well, someone said, wow, that's great. I didn't want to preach anyway. I didn't want to go on some kirtan, so I don't want to commit. I'm not going to preach to the faithless. But that's not the meaning. Because Lord Chaitanya said, Yare deka tarikaha Krishna upadesha maragaya guru hoyuta yadesh. What does that mean? Lord Chaitanya says, preach to everybody. They're all faithless, but here it says, don't preach to the faithless. Is that a contradiction? What is the meaning? What is the proper understanding? The proper understanding is actually everyone is faithful. Everyone is actually a pure devotee. They are simply covered by demoniac mentality themselves. So you must preach in such a way that you connect with that faithful nature within them. Don't agitate them and cause them to create blasphemy. You deal with people in such a way that they don't commit blasphemy. That's the meaning. You be expert in your preaching. To not cause them to be blasphemous. In other words, you give people what they can handle at their level. You be intelligent and expert in your preaching to give people what they can handle. Just like I was, I had one, knew one gentleman. He was a South Indian Christian. And so I came to his shop with some prasadam, to give him some prasadam. And I said, "Here, I'd like to give you this cookie." And he immediately said, "But is it prasadam?" In other words, if it's prasadam, I'm not going to take it, you know. So I said, "Well, no, it's not prasadam." And he took it, and he got purified. You see, so this, I just told him what he needed to hear, so he would take the prasadam and get the benefit. Even though you could say it was a lie, it wasn't really a lie, because it was for Krishna's service, you see. He took the prasadam and he got purified. So, not preaching to the faithless means you don't preach to them in such a way that they become negative or critical or blasphemous. You intelligently find the ways and means to engage everyone in Krishna's service. That is the meaning of the ninth offense. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Well, I'd say you now give up all your attachments immediately. Who can do that? Okay, give up all your attachments now. Stop all those attachments. Stop right now. Can you do that? No. Because our nature is to be attached. That is natural for the soul. We naturally attach people, you see. By nature. It is said that man is a social animal, so naturally we are attached. So how do you give up all material attachments? It's very simple then. You have to fill your heart with spiritual attachments. Attached to your guru, attached to the deities, attached to the holy name, attached to prasadam, attached to Prabhupada's books, attached to your devotee friends, your devotee family members, attached to visiting holy places, etc., etc., etc. You simply have attached to Bhagavad Gita, attached to Srimad Bhagavatam, attached. We have so many things that you can attach to. It's like the spiritual master is attached to his disciples also, you see. So, the more we become attached to spiritual people and spiritual things and spiritual experiences, transcendentally attached, you see. Fill your heart with transcendental attachments, and all the mundane attachments will automatically drop by the wayside because they don't have the same rasa as the spiritual attachments. They're not as tasty. You see? If I hand you you have your currency here is rupees?
Yes.
I give you a 100-rupee note. I don't know how much it's worth. You may say, okay, that's fine. And then I give you $10 million worth, ten million rupees. Can you give up the 100 rupees in exchange for 1 million rupees? Sure, no problem. So you simply have to take on these spiritual attachments. And then all the material attachments, they will go immediately. And the last offense mentioned is to be inattentive while chanting. Well, if we always remember that the supreme nectar is in Krishna, there's no greater, sweeter, more delicious, more wonderful, more tantalizing, more amazing, no more fantastic experience to be had anywhere throughout the 3 worlds or even the 14 worlds. If we always remember that, there's no need to look anywhere else for taste. There's no need to look for anywhere else for pleasure. There's no need to look for anywhere else for adventure or excitement or thrills. There's no need to look anywhere else because everything exciting, everything wonderful, everything thrilling, everything stimulating is right there. Krishna. It's all there. It's all there. If we remember this, then automatically we'll not be inattentive while chanting. Why should I let my mind wander away when I can directly associate with God at every minute? The person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of all existence. I can directly associate with Him at every minute, and I'm going to get carried away by some mundane, unattractive, ridiculous, pseudo enjoyable experience. Is it upset? So if we always remember what Rupa Goswami says about these two syllables, Krishna, then naturally we will not be inattentive while chanting. So in this way, all the devotees who have taken initiation, they must carefully guard against these offenses. And those who are aspiring for initiation also, they should. Everyone should be guarding against these 10 offenses in order to advance very, very quickly on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Okay. So now I'd like to call forward Praveen. You can offer your full dandavat. And you can do both Guru Pranam mantra. Both of them. Out loud. Out loud. Say it out loud, loud and clear.
Namo Vishnupadaya Krishnapasthaya Bhutale Shmaja Shankar Sandhasadikari Tinami Namo Prabhu Padanga Premurti Vikasaita Narade Satipasani Uttarati Vasmi.
So, what are the... So what are the four regular principles? What are the four regular principles?
No meat eating. No meat eating. Mm-hmm. No intoxication. No illicit sex. No gambling.
And how many rounds of japa will you chant every day?
Minimum 16.
So your name is Talad Das. Who can explain now? Where is Vidura? Is he here today?
Not
here. Who can explain his qualifications for being initiated here? Can tell us something how he has qualified himself to be initiated.
So Prabhu has been practicing Krishna consciousness for almost 3 years now. He's been regularly chanting 16 rounds of japa every day. And he also does nice service in the Bhaktivedanta College. He's a preacher. And recently he's also started a Bhagavad Gita class in his workplace. Every week he assembles his colleagues and he teaches them Bhagavad Gita. So he's got a very nice attitude also. Always very helpful. Whenever there are different events, even festivals, he comes forward, steps in, and readily offers to help, to assist. So this is why I recommend it, Prabhu.
Right. You can sit down now. Okay, now Mera Mataji can come. Say the Pranam mantra is out loud. Louder. Okay, that's all right. So, what are the four regular principles?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling.
And how many rounds of japa do you chant every day?
16 rounds of japa.
At least 16 rounds. So, your name is Madhurekshana Devi Dasi. Madhurekshana is a very special name. Jiva Goswami says it means the personified deity of bhakti. And it means one whose eyes are intoxicated upon seeing the deity. So now whenever you're seeing the deity, you have to be Madhurekshana. You should become intoxicated by seeing the deities. This way you fulfill the purport of Madhavikshana. Okay? You always become intoxicated by seeing the deities, and you will be the true Madhavikshana Devi Dasi. Now, who can explain her qualification for being initiated? You can explain also. You can sit down again now. Or you can offer your patience to Prabhupada tonight.
So Maharaji has been practicing Krishna consciousness for many years now. I've known her personally for many years, and her Prabhu too. Her Prabhu was actually a school friend of mine, and she's been chanting japa regularly for many years. She has a very nice attitude towards devotional service. She's very sincere. She regularly does service in the DD department, and she also does book distribution, and this is why we recommended her for initiation.
Very good. So, like, deity worship and preaching, you know, the two rails. When the deity worship is there and the preaching is there, then the devotee can very solidly situate the two rails. Deity worship and preaching. Very good combination.